This is the radio show helping business owners make more money and go home earlier to spend more time with their families. Welcome to Business Profits Radio with your host, Robert Scrobe. Business Profits Radio is the small business owner's resource for marketing, sales, operations, and profitability. Robert Scrobe uses his extensive business contacts and practical business experience to identify the business people who are creating exceptional profits. Robert's guests are business owners just like you who are building successful companies. Robert gets them to share their best strategies and tactics so you can apply their knowledge in your business. Robert is a business owner, certified public accountant, published author, employer, husband, and father. He understands the pressures business owners face and brings answers and advice to you. You can receive email updates about future shows and listen to Business Profits University online by visiting businessprofitsradio.com. That's businessprofitsradio.com. Now, here's your host for Business Profits Radio, Robert Scrobe.
One of the most frightening parts of business, of owning your own business, is sales. And even I have frustrations, concerns, anxieties about getting out there and actually standing face to face with a customer and asking for an order. So today on Business Profits Radio, we're going to talk all about sales. I'm your host, Robert Scrobe, and I've got two great guests today. Brett Bacon, who is the author of the book Millionaire Selling Secrets. We're going to talk about his secrets, and he's going to reveal what he's learned after 30 years in the field of standing in front of customers asking for the sale. Also, we have Marilyn Suttle, who's the author of the book Who's Your Gladys? How to Turn Even the Most Difficult Customer into Your Biggest Fan. That's coming up today on Business Profits Radio. And also, I've got a very important profitable business truth that I think is crucial to my success. And it's one of the things, probably the most common thing that I see holding back business people today. They just can't get over. You find out on your profitable business truth later today. Also, I want to reveal to you what really helped put me over the edge in sales and what the resource even today that I look to when I kind of get anxiety or some concerns over sales, or I just kind of want to get grounded. Let me reveal that to you and what it's meant in my business life today. But first, let me share a story with you. I first heard this story from Ed Lemko, who is a consultant for the motorcycle dealer industry. And it's about a rabbit who went to a wise old owl for advice. The problem was there's a fox in the forest intent on eating the rabbit. The wise old owl had a dynamic and simplistic answer to the rabbit, which was, change yourself into a tiger. The rabbit was impressed with the wisdom of the wise old owl. You know, for a fox would never bother a tiger. But then the rabbit had one more question for the owl. How do I change myself into a tiger? The wise old owl simply shrugged and said, I'm just the consultant. I'm told you what to do. It's up to you to implement. And how many times have you felt the same way when you get answers from consultants or you get answers out of books? All it is, hey, go change yourself into a tiger. Or you get answers about creating business systems. You go, oh, well, just go create business systems. That's how you unlock the lifestyle in your business. Just go do it. Or the sales. Oh, just go do it. That's what consultants do. That's what books tell you so much. And I understand how frustrating that is without the resources and knowledge of how for you to turn yourself into a tiger. There's no way you can. You know, you can try things at random, but it's not going to work for you because you're going to just be trying lots of different things and you won't be able to find the thing that's going to work for you. So it is important that as you try to transform things within your business, as you try to make changes, that not only do you seek out experts who can tell you, yeah, you know, change this, change that, but also seek out the information that is going to really help you make that change. The thing that I have found that makes that happen more than anything is looking and studying other businesses. Anytime, you know, there was actually a nice article in the newspaper today about Dave Ramsey. You may have heard of Dave Ramsey. He's a talk radio host and talks all about getting out of debt. And Dave had a business for 10 or 15 years, and it was moderately successful, selling how to get out of debt courses, or teaching you all about personal finance. And you know what? Dave did pretty well, but it didn't take off until Dave started selling this program through churches. And, you know, I'd kind of seen banners at churches here and there around town, you know, selling the Dave Ramsey stuff, but I never realized that that was such a huge part of his business. What he's done is he's gotten the churches to promote his products to their members. And he might cut the church in for a little bit of piece of the money. I'm not sure on those details. But more than anything, now he's got thousands of salespeople all over the nation selling Dave Ramsey products to their customers. Ingenious. And a great system to generate lots of sales. So what I sat down and did, I read that, and the very next morning during my thinking time, I sat down and I wrote a list. What are the different communities that I could use in order to sell my products? What are the things that I could do to duplicate Dave Ramsey's success? Certainly, it'd be easy to go, well, you know, I'd never sell my product through churches. And you know what? Chances are, for me, that probably isn't a great option. But for you, maybe it would be. But more importantly than that, what are the types of organizations who have members, who have a community that would be appropriate to offer my products to, that they could offer to their customers, their members? And maybe I'll cut them in for a split, but it would address, you know, let's break down the Dave Ramsey model. These churches have flocks, they have members who are having financial problems for one reason or another. And the pastors don't have time or maybe not have the resources to create these personal finance courses. And so by endorsing and providing these Dave Ramsey courses, the pastors get to provide this crucial information to their members and make a little bit of money. So what audiences are out there that are make up your customers? And could you create a way for the people who have your customers as members to offer their members what they need and in a way that generates some money for that organization? It's kind of an interesting question. You know, you got associations, you got clubs, you got other organizations on the internet, you've got list groups. You know, what are some novel ways you can get out there? And that's the secret to success I've found, is modeling the success of others, looking at what other people are doing and not just taking it at face value, going, that Dave Ramsey guy is kind of interesting. He's certainly smart. But instead, take it the step farther and go, you know what? How can I implement this? What are some things I could do to duplicate that success in my business? Same with systems, same with sales. Watch what other people are doing and doing successfully and repeat that in your business. Coming up on Business Profits Radio, my guest is Brett Bacon, author of the book, The Millionaire Selling Secrets. And we're going to talk about what he learned. And so you can model off of his 30 years of direct selling success coming up after this brief message.
Hi, this is Robert Scrobe, your host of Business Profits Radio. I grew up in business in the offline world. I watched as everyone was all excited about the internet and online marketing. At that time, I mostly saw using the internet as some sort of fad. A lot of people were excited about online marketing, but direct mail, telephone, and fax were still more effective at generating new customers. In the last few years, I've seen the internet blossom into a business building machine. I've created websites that are just like ATM machines, except better. These machines put money into my account every day automatically. That's why I co-authored the book with Bob Rickneris about internet marketing. It's titled The Official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet. This book outlines the exact steps I use to create websites that generate money for me. I'm not a web programmer. I have a web guy who does all the techie work. That's what we want to teach you in my book, The Official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet, how you can create a website, understand what you need to know to prepare the information for a web designer, evaluate what he or she creates, and then give him instructions on how to finalize it for the web. For information about the book, including a video of me by my pool, a webinar tour of several websites, preview chapters, and several success stories, visit the book website at www.internetinformationmarketing.com. That's internetinformationmarketing.com. For years, I looked at claims about the internet with skepticism. I tested lots of things, but got better results from offline marketing. But in the last 3 years, the tide has really changed. Now there are a lot of people on the web and millions are buying things. There isn't any reason why they can't be buying from you. To get the details of creating a website to get them to buy from you, visit internetinformationmarketing.com.
One of the most difficult things to do in business is to get out there and generate new customers. Today, we have the opportunity to speak with Brett Bacon, who has personally sold millions of dollars of products and services. He did this applying the selling secrets of persuasion detailed in his new book, Millionaire Selling Secrets. He created his selling system from a combination of great mentors, formal education, trial and error, and the school of hard knocks. Throughout his 30-year career of selling everything from life insurance to hearing aids. So it's a great pleasure to have you on Business Profits Radio. Welcome, Brett.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to the interview.
All right. Now, what separates the good salespeople, the millionaire salespeople, from the ones that just never able to seem to be able to make that sale?
Yeah, it's a great question. A bad salesperson, if we can use that term, is typically, and what I find interesting about this affects bad salesmen and salespeople can be someone who's just starting out in sales, and you have bad salespeople who've been doing it for 10, 20, even 30 years.
Okay.
And a bad salesperson is essentially someone, we'll start with the basics, they're focused on themselves and what they want out of the sale, instead of being focused on the customer and what is best for the customer.
And now, I could see how that would really paralyze them, because they're only thinking from their standpoint. They don't have any idea that this could really be something that benefits their customer, which if they knew how much their customer would want and enjoy their product, probably save them from a lot of anxiety.
No, you raise an excellent point there when you say saving the anxiety, because it becomes this what I call a sales death spiral. I mean, if the salesperson is only focused on themselves and they're not focused on providing the best, services and meeting the needs and wants of their customers, they get frustrated. They get discouraged. Their customers run from them because they sense that they're really not interested in meeting their needs. They're only interested in the dollars they might receive from a sale. So they become more frustrated. That frustration shows in their next sales presentation. Mm-hmm. They make less and less money, and eventually they burn out.
Now, it really seems that this could make a big difference. But what's the practical application? I mean, what really is the difference between how does a salesperson who keeps their customers' motives in mind do anything any differently than the customer than the salesperson that's only thinking about themselves?
Right. It's another great question, because you might be thinking, well, gee, good customer service, that's basic to anything. But but the challenge is actually doing it, not just saying it or thinking it, but doing it. And what I have done in my book is I've broken out this process into 10 key steps. But one of the critical steps is building passion for what you do. Now, how do you do that? You have to ask yourself the basic question, all right, what is it I'm offering to the customer, whether it's a product or service, that is absolutely exciting and will benefit my customer? I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to understand that. I'm going to know it frontwards and backwards. And then I'm going to get passionate about that, because when you help other people, that's a good thing, and you can get passionate about that. And so you have to first identify the true benefits to your customer and be passionate about it. So, you know, and that can apply to virtually any sort of service. Another practical thing to do is to create what I call a sales mantra.
Okay, what do you mean by a sales mantra?
Yeah, a sales mantra is for your particular product or service that you're offering, you take the essence of the true benefit of that product or service and you build it into a sales mantra, a one-sentence summary of the essence of what you are doing to help that customer. So, for example, let's say you're selling life insurance, and by selling life insurance, you're providing security and comfort to the family members. You're providing them with financial benefits in the event of the loss of a loved one. And you build that into a sales mantra. You say to yourself, before you see every single customer, I'm going to help this customer to get the life insurance benefits that they need so that their family is protected. And I'm going to do that today. And I say, I add that little part to the end, because one of the other big problems in salesmanship today is a lack of urgency in the sense of, if a customer approaches you to ask about your product or service, they're doing it for a reason. They have some sort of problem that they want to have fixed.
I really want to talk to you about that, because a lot of times the salespeople confuse win-win selling and that whole concept with, let me slow down this process and make it take forever. And they waste a lot of time, and they aren't helping themselves or anybody else using that. My guest today is Brett Bacon here on Business Profits Radio. I'm your host, Robert Scrobe. Brett is the president and CEO of Contract Vantage Advisory Group, a consulting company providing sales and business coaching, speaking services, and sales and entrepreneurship books. He is also the CEO and president of My Life Franchise Corporation, a national retail hearing aid franchise system. To get some more information about Brett's book and to get some free millionaire selling secrets, you can go to Brett's website. It's at www.brettbacon.com, and that is BRETTBACON.com. And don't worry, go ahead, if you missed that, go ahead and get a pen and a piece of paper, and I'll give you that link in just a moment. But I'm certain that you're going to want to go ahead and write that down. Brett, we were talking about this sense of urgency, and I see it all the time where, you know, as a salesperson, you want to make it a win-win. You want to think about what the customer needs, and it's easy to make all kinds of excuses about why they don't really need your product. And you had mentioned life insurance or what have you, but you can say, oh, well, you know, they don't really need this. They're young, and, you know, they really need to spend the money on buying more diapers for their baby, or they really need to spend the money fixing up their house. That's really how that's a win-win, and they lose focus of what they really are there to do. Their sales mantra is not to help people remodel their house. Their sales mantra is to help them take care of their family if something happens to them.
That's exactly right.
Can you talk a little bit about that and how salespeople often confuse this win-win or keeping your customer first focus versus actually getting out there and making some sales?
Absolutely. It's a great point to raise. I find that when I train salespeople, and I've trained hundreds of them, and many of them have gone on to sell millions of dollars worth of goods and services, often in a single year, I find the ones who are not successful, they are incredibly creative, giving you reasons why they can't make a sale, why the customer doesn't want their particular product or service, or why the economy is preventing them from selling their product or service. And they will come up with all sorts of reasons for, for a lackluster performance.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of focusing on and being creative in understanding and helping their customers, another key principle in my Millionaire Selling Secrets, and this might sound basic, but believe me, after 30 years of salesmanship and training people and building businesses, it's not common sense to most people, and that is, you have to ask your customers questions to build your roadmap of persuasion. So, for example, you were mentioning someone says, well, gee, they've got to have money for diapers. They can't afford insurance. I'm willing to bet the individual who makes that argument hasn't asked enough questions of the customer about their needs and wants and why they're even considering life insurance so that they can build a roadmap to figure out the best solution so that not only can they get the insurance that they need to help their family, as we're using here in this example, but they'll also still be able to buy the diapers for the baby.
What I find so many times is that the customer doesn't have any idea what they want and need. And the salesperson is there to help ask questions so that that person can come. Well, too many salespeople, instead of asking questions, they're like, oh, well, you need life insurance to protect your, you know, and in fact, you know, when they get that push, the customer wants to just push back or run away. And instead, like you said, I think it's very smart to ask questions, and that gets your customer thinking about things that they may not have thought about that are very important to them. And we, you know, in terms of life insurance, it would be questions like, well, have you thought about what's going to happen to you with your family if something happens to you and your ability to create income? And you start taking them down that road, and they can understand that that life insurance, while it's going to cost them money, is an investment of security that they can make while, you know, now that can help protect their family should something happen to them. So I think it's, you know, customers, we can't take what the customers tell us on face value because they don't have all the information. And it's our responsibility to make sure that they are making an informed decision. And if they are, or if they're putting remodel the house over life insurance or something else, it could be that they're just doing that because they don't have all the information. And a true win-win is making sure that your customer has the information and the strategies they need to make that decision.
No, that's an excellent point. I'll give you another real life example. I strolled into a hi-fi television and computer store, and I was interested in buying a flat screen television.
There's quite a few to choose from.
So one of the salespeople approached me and he said, you know, what are you looking for? That was a good question. Well, I think I'm interested in some flat screen TVs. Oh, he doesn't ask another question. Let me take you over here. Let me show you the biggest flat screen we've got now. This thing is huge. You can see everything, right? And I said, well, wait a minute. There's a problem with that. I can't use a big flat screen TV. I'm coming in here specifically, and if he had just asked me, I would have told him this. I need one actually for the bedroom. Now, in my bedroom, because of the way the bureau is located, I need a small flat screen. I don't need a big flat screen. So he was assuming things about me and my needs, and all he had to do was ask the questions. And the other key step is if he had asked those questions, I would have answered him. And then another key millionaire selling secret is you have to do what I call concrete ties. It's like taking a bucket of wet concrete, and you're going to sink into that bucket of wet concrete the specific benefits that relate to that individual customer. So what he could have done is if he had asked me all those questions, he could have said, okay, so I've got the perfect flat screen TV for you. It's small. It's got great, you know, clarity. It's got a great, you know, volume and stereo system, because it would explain to him that that's important to me. And he would describe it. He'd say, this is going to fit on your bureau, in your bedroom. He would actually paint a picture in concrete terms of the scene in my life where this television is going to go. And if he is good enough at doing that, I, as the customer, am now picturing that flat-screen TV in my bedroom, in my home.
Right.
And once I start to picture actually having and using the product, well, that salesperson is about 99.9% of the way to the sale, as opposed to doing the absolute wrong thing, which I know you see as well, Robert. Today, with all the technology we have today, the average salesperson, if they're selling anything with technology as part of that product or service, they essentially bury the customer in what I call techno-speak.
Features.
Right, features, exactly. Instead of benefits, they start to talk about the ZRX 5485 chip that's inside that television. Now, that might be something he just learned in a sales training class, or God forbid, But I don't know what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And he never asked me the question to find out if I even care about what is inside the television, which, frankly, I don't. I just want to know how to turn it on and off and change channels and volume. And if he had asked me that, he would know that.
And hook it up to the VCR that's still blinking 12 o'clock for the last 25 years.
That's right. And here's another key thing. Mm-hmm. Here's another key millionaire selling secret I present in the book. And I'm amazed. I'll read sales book after sales book, and in 30 years, I've probably read 200 of them. But very rarely in business do you find today, whether it is a CEO of a company or a salesperson on the front lines with a customer, that they actually practice before they're in front of the customer their presentation. Now, if we were to, you know, turn on the television and you know, the Red Sox announced that they would no longer practice playing baseball
no
before
more spring
any games,
training.
Right?
No more spring training. We're just going to start
no
the season.
No more spring training. No more warm-ups, okay? The pitcher is not going to get his shoulder warmed up. He's just going to go out there and throw some balls when it's time to play the game.
Too many.
What's the likelihood that they're going to get to the World Series?
No, too many salespeople try to go in there and think, oh, well, I'm good enough. I can do it without practice. But even the best pitchers warm up before they go out on the field.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the toughest group of people I've ever trained are people who already are selling because they think they know it all.
That's it.
And you know, I think it was John Wooden, the great, you know, college basketball coach. He said, I'm looking for people who, once they decide they know it all, are still willing to learn even more.
Yeah, I think it's a real good point. It, you know, the seeing from your customer's perspective includes asking questions in order so that you can learn what your customer's perspective is, and talking in terms that are important to your customer, not that are important to you. And
right.
You can only make that happen if you practice and rehearse in advance. You can't expect to go out there and wing it and succeed. The book is called Millionaire Selling Secrets. Our author is my guest, Brett Bacon. You can get some more information about the book as well as free secrets that Brett has made available on his website at www.brettbacon.com, B-R-E-T-T-B-A-C-O-N. And I encourage you to pick up the book, Millionaire Selling Secrets, next time you're at the bookstore or next time you're searching on Amazon.com. Coming up on Business Profits Radio, we have Marilyn Suttle. She is the author of Who's Your Gladys? How to Turn Even the Most Difficult Customer into Your Biggest Fan. Brett, thank you so much for being my guest today on Business Profits Radio.
You are very welcome, Robert. It was a real pleasure.
All right. We'll be right back, Marilyn Suttle, after this brief message.
Attention business owners, entrepreneurs, sales professionals, and anyone who wants to get more accomplished. Have you heard about the new DVD sensation that everybody is talking about called The Phenomenon? Question, was 2007 the breakthrough year you wanted? And if not, what goals would you set? What accomplishments would you seek? What income and status would you want if you knew it could be yours in just the next 12 months? In this most unusual DVD created by legendary marketing guru Dan Kennedy, you'll meet 23 people and hear directly from them about the exact changes they took to trigger the phenomenon in their lives. Best of all, the secret is not about thoughts. It is about what to do and exactly how to do it. To preview the Phenomenon DVD, go to AchieveMoreProfit.com. So what accomplishments would you seek? What income and status would you set if you knew it could be yours in just 12 months? Amaze yourself and everyone around you. To preview the Phenomenon, go to AchieveMoreProfit.com.
All of us have had one of those problem customers that seem to take a lot of time, and you're never really sure if you're able to, if it's worth turning them around or if it's a lost cause. Well, my guest today is Marilyn Suttle, who has taught thousands of people across the country how to have happier, more productive relationships with customers. And she's the author of a brand new book, Who's Your Gladys? How to Turn Even the Most Difficult Customer into Your Biggest Fan. Marilyn, welcome to Business Profits Radio.
Thanks for having me here, Robert. I'm happy to be here.
All right. Now, why is it important to turn difficult customers into fans? Isn't it just easier to replace them with new customers?
You know, that's the old model. Fire those customers. Get rid of those troublemakers.
Yeah, obviously, if they're troublemakers, then we just need to get rid of them and find new customers, right?
Well, good luck trying to do that.
Oh, my goodness. Reality? You're going to put a dose of reality into the sales training?
Yeah, we have to work in today's world, and it's a whole new world when it comes to customers.
Right. So what have you found? If a business does this and figures out how to turn difficult customers into fans, what does that mean to them? What changes, what will they see if they implement your strategies?
Not only will they improve their bottom line, actually that's a side effect, is improving your bottom line, but you're going to have raving fans, because it's those emotional, loud people that turn your stomach that when you get them on your side become your most vocal advocates.
And you know, there's a lot of talk about how to use social media and how to market yourself through Facebook, or how to market yourself through Twitter, or how to market yourself through all these websites where people go and leave reviews. Better not to have to figure out how to do any of that, but instead figure out how to make your customers fans so that they do it all for you, and you can relax by the pool instead of figuring out how to use Facebook.
Well, you're going to need to use Facebook and those customer review sites either way, whether they love you or whether they hate you, especially if they don't love you, because you can turn them around online, too.
It certainly makes it a lot more enjoyable if you're reading positive.
It's a time of growth. It's not easy to change and learn how to use social media, but once you do, oh, my gosh, the results are amazing.
Well, and I certainly like reading 5-star reviews than the 1-star reviews, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. A lot of business owners say, oh, gosh, I'm just not going to look. It's just too depressing. What can I do?
The ostrich approach. Just bury your head and it'll be fine.
That's not the best approach. So,
now, Gladys.
I want to give you some alternatives to that.
Well, all right. So, Marilyn, in your book, Who's Your Gladys? How to Turn Even the Most Difficult Customer into Your Biggest Fan. Once you've embraced this concept, now what do I do? Well, how do I make that happen?
Well, it starts with you.
I got to change me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right.
What's happening on the inside of your company is going to eventually show up on the outside. And a lot of people, are you seeing like scared employees, stressed out people who are working harder because you have had to lower the staff or maybe even cut their salaries? And so they're pretty stressed out.
Right.
And so there's ways you can empower your frontline, empower your employees so that they will treat the customers not with fear and frustration, but with that grounded competency.
Okay.
It takes a little learning, but it's doable.
And so is this the same as that concept 20 years ago, the customer is always right?
No. The customer isn't always right, but they always deserve respect.
Oh, I see. So that's the difference. So you don't have to because Home Depot, they embraced that many years ago. And so you could take a piece of plywood that sat in your backyard for 15 years and was all molded, take it back, because they had this customer's always right attitude, they'd give you a refund. It just doesn't seem like that's good business.
No, and it can't work that way, but we could do other things. Maybe you can't give them extras because there's no extras to give right now, but you can always give attention. You can always give that extra something that isn't monetary but means the world to them.
Okay. So
it'd be as simple as asking, what could we do next time to make you even happier? I mean, a lot of people are like, wow. They're asking, they care, they want to know. Like really tapping into the feedback.
And so those are some things that you can do with your sales staff and the frontline staff who interact with customers. Simply, instead of just giving the answer and hanging up, to go ahead and take a moment and say, hey, is there anything else, that we could do to help you? Is there anything else? And is it really just by asking that you're able to get some breakthroughs and points with your customers?
You know, I was interviewing Paul Reed Smith Guitars, and in this economy, they're selling thousands of dollar guitars, like one guitar, $5,000, and they're selling them. And part of it is one of the things they say is, the more you want to know, the more you'll find out.
Okay.
So if you want to know, not only asking, but asking in a way that makes them comfortable. Have you ever been uncomfortable when somebody asks you if you're happy?
Yeah, all the time.
Is it really worth it? Are they going to give me trouble if I tell them the truth is not worth it?
Mostly just with my spouse. Now, it's very important to turn your spouse into your biggest fan, but also your customers into your biggest fan. And Marilyn Suttle has written the book, Who's Your Gladys? How to Turn Even the Most Difficult Customer into Your Biggest Fan. And Marilyn has assembled 50 free gifts for you in addition. So, like, as if the book wasn't enough, being able to make your customers into a raving fan, as if that wasn't enough. On top of that, Marilyn Suttle has accumulated terrific resources, free gifts for you. Go visit Marilyn's website at www.whosyourgladys.com. Now, let me spell that for you, and I'll spell it again. So if you get a pen and paper, by the time we come back around, we'll be able to spell it out for you again. But here it is, if you're ready. It's whosyourgladys.com. So Marilyn, so somebody that they've made the decision, they know that this is important. You know, certainly they'll have their employees and staff ask customers and find out more information. But what are some things that they should be doing in order to turn their customers into raving fans?
Well, the first thing they need to know is the latest research that's come out about customers. We have what has emerged as the hypersensitive customer, and they're coming your way.
Uh-oh.
The research shows that 71% of customers will come into your place of business and walk out without buying a thing just because of a look or the way somebody says something in a way they don't like. I mean, they're so hypersensitive. You could have the most expensive equipment. You could have put the best business plan into shape. But if your front line says something to offend or even just says something that makes them feel indifferent, forget it. You're done. They know how to text, Twitter, and tell the world, and they know how to research. They're a different customer.
Wow. And so what does that mean? What do I need to do in my business in order to make that not happen?
Well, here's the good news. What you have to do doesn't cost anything.
Oh, I love that news.
Yeah, but it takes some effort. It takes some learning. And this book gives you, and I'll give you, some tips. And one right off the bat is to reinterpret those things that make your stomach go into a knot. You know, somebody comes in and they're rude, and you think, they're so rude, I don't like this person. Mm-hmm. And it shows on your face.
Mm-hmm.
So in the book, we have like a translator. If they're rude, what does that mean? And if they're cold, what does that mean? You know, somebody, I don't know, what's your trigger? What is it that makes you go, oh?
Having to wait to pay.
Ah, right there. And so it makes you impatient.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they're impatient, you get impatient, and this grows. So rather than being impatient with a customer, be impatient for the customer. Go on the other side and be their advocate to get the problem solved.
So, you know, when your customers sometimes are anxious, sometimes they're frustrated, and so you've got to train your frontline staff to recognize that, and instead of reacting with a similar emotion, react in a way that diffuses the situation and really kind of take up the customer's frustration as your own and help them solve the problem, figure out why, and to solve why they're frustrated.
Right, right. So training them that when they're on the receiving end of a Gladys attack, they're not attacking you, they're attacking the problem. And so if you see it that way, you can disengage, not take it personally, and then stand side by side with them, both of you pointing at the problem and figuring out how to resolve it. It just changes the chemistry in your brain and helps you be more effective.
And I know a lot of business owners, there are so many fires to put out, so many things to do, that a lot of times if it's leaving you alone, you leave it alone. And you really have to go through your business and walk in as if you are a brand new customer and you've never seen it before. And, you know, for us, you know, the poster that's been on the wall for 20 years or the employee that's been around that does okay or, you know, comes in late or maybe doesn't dress quite the same way you would want them to, you've learned how to kind of overlook that because that's just, you know, Joey and Joey acts like that. but you need to come in with fresh eyes and see your business as your customer sees it, and go fix those things that you know are going to be disruptive to making the sale. Now, Marilyn, there has to be a story behind the title of your book, Hoosier Gladys. Now, where did you come up with that idea to name your book, Hoosier Gladys?
Oh, Gladys is a real person.
Uh-oh.
The first company in the first chapter had a Gladys, and she, you know, she was tough. Boy, she was rough, and she, what she wanted, she was very particular. She was really tough in the beginning. She wasn't trusting. So what generally happens when you have a customer like that?
You get rid of them and get a new customer.
Either that, or if you do take them, something goes wrong.
Oh, yes.
Every time, you know. And so something went terribly wrong. And because of the way the company treated, she's an 87-year-old woman, and they treated her the same way they would treat a corporation client.
Oh, no.
And here's the deal, is that she became a single one-woman sales force for them and increased their sales in her retirement community by 40% because she stayed loud and boisterous, but for them instead of against them. And anybody trying to move into or out of that retirement community, she's like, you got to use this company.
So it's a great lesson, and even when they're tough, you need to act in kind. And you see a lot of this, you know, that folks come from a culture that you know, it's funny down here in the South. You know, we have people that maybe move from New York, and my wife is just like, man, they are just tough. It's like, no, they don't really mean to be rough with you. It's just they're Northerners. That's the way they talk to each other. And so a lot of times it's easy for us to really misinterpret even cultural differences as some sort of frustration. And that happens in North and South. It happens racial differences. Mm-hmm. It happens in gender differences. And so rather than taking some action kind of at face value, instead you kind of have to dissect it, find out where it's coming from, and really become an advocate for your customer. And as long as I think they see that you are trying, that you believe in them, and you validate their problem, the worst thing you could do, I don't know if you agree, Marilyn, you tell me, is to say, oh, well, that's no big deal.
Yeah, that's one of the things you never say to Gladys. Everything's a big deal to her.
Instead, it's like, oh, well, I could really see how you would feel that way. This is what we had hoped we would achieve, but, you know, I understand that came off wrong. So the book is Who's Your Gladys by Marilyn Suttle. You want to go ahead and grab a copy. Go visit the website. I'll say it first, www.whosyourgladys.com, and the website address is www.whosyourgladys.com. And Marilyn has assembled 50 free gifts there for you. You'll want to check out that book and take advantage of the opportunity to get those gifts, because you're taking care of your customers is the best way to turn them a difficult situation into an advocate, proactively promoting your business. Thank you so much, Marilyn, for being my guest today on Business Profits Radio.
Oh, I've enjoyed it so much.
Well, we'll be right back with your profitable business truth, which is how to get big breakthroughs and really the stopping point for most businesses, and how you can keep it from being a stopping point for you, right after this brief message.
Would you like to become a guru? Have you ever wanted to publish home study courses, audio programs, or franchise your business? It's a lot easier than you'd think. As a matter of fact, Robert Scrobe, the host of Business Profits Radio, teamed up with Entrepreneur Magazine to publish a book outlining how you can create your own information products. Receive a free online video outlining 5 information products and see how easy it is to create your own. Visit GuruQuick.com. You too can become a published author, create your own home study products, and become a guru. It's easy and only takes a few short weeks. Check out the free training video at GuruQuick.com. That's www.GuruQuick.com.
Throughout my years in business, I have identified 16 essential truths business owners must follow to break free and build a lifestyle that gives them income, wealth, and the freedom to enjoy it. I'm Robert Scrobe, and as your host for Business Profits Radio, I bring you one of these business truths each week. Last week, we talked about failure. This week, it's a different thing entirely. And this is really the thing that holds so many business owners back from really enjoying the success that they should be enjoying. And instead, it holds them frozen, inactive, unable to move forward. So many times I talk to business owners and they're like, oh, well, I'd love to do that. I just don't know how. Or, yeah, how is it that you created that business? I would never be able to do that. Or they look at a business that someone else is doing and they think, oh, man, they're just so big. But I got to tell you, the secret is not in what you start with. It is in starting where you are and gathering the information you need as you move forward. Look at Bill Gates. Bill Gates started as a nobody, nothing, college student working out of his garage. And he invented this Microsoft DOS system, this disk operating system that helped run computers. And, you know, he was a nobody, nothing. He just was this kind of geeky programmer that tried to put the software together and make it run kind of effectively. And so he went to IBM and tried to get IBM to embrace his software, and they met with some resistance initially. And you know, he just wasn't all that successful. But you know, I mean, how does a geeky kid that some college student get in for meetings at IBM? Well, the reason is they ask. And so if you're looking at, well, shoot, how on earth am I going to be able to get in to meet with this person? I can't do that. Why would he see me? I'm a nobody nothing. Well, think of it. Bill Gates was a nobody nothing college student. He got in to see one of the, at this time, the biggest corporations in America. And not only did they see him, but eventually they did business with them. So why not you? You know why not? It's because you haven't contacted them yet. In order to succeed, you can't wait until you have all the resources necessary to move forward. You have to move forward with the resources you have and grow as you go. And if you need a contact at a big company and it seems overwhelming, start at the bottom. Start at zero and just make it a goal for a day or a half a day to call and ask, research, look at websites, and figure out who the person is that you need to speak with. Contact, and a lot of times you're kind of apprehensive or concerned that, oh man, you know, they're going to find me out. They're going to figure out that I'm a nobody nothing. Well, you know, every business person is looking for the next shortcut, the next big thing, the next breakthrough within their industry, the next new development that's going to completely change the competitive landscape. And so if you are delivering that, if you are offering these people the opportunity to learn what's coming up, then you have an opportunity to get into that office. Now, you know, we're talking focusing on getting through to the top guy, and there's certainly a lot of books and resources that will help you do that. And that's the main point of today's Profitable Business Truth, is to be resourceful. And I think that's really one of my keys to success. And the reason why I've really been able to break through is when I'm faced with overwhelming odds where I just don't see how on earth I could succeed. I just don't have the tools that are necessary. I don't have what I need to move forward. And I just feel intimidated and small. I don't allow that to slow me down. I don't allow that to stop me. But instead, I move forward and I get it done regardless of what's going on inside me, what kind of apprehension, what kind of concerns. And if I need resources, I go get them. I hire the consultants I need. I mean, I remember years ago when I was a topped out consultant, I had tripled my income by increasing my consulting fees and had really grown my business. But I had figured out that my business was dependent on my manual labor, and I had no way of trying to duplicate myself other than hiring new employees, which I didn't necessarily want to do that. I wanted a way that I could create products that I could create once and sell many times so that I could have some scalable money and money where I could be making money even when I was not working. And so what I did is I joined a coaching program, and I went, and it was very expensive at the time. I remember it was a lot more than I thought I could afford. But I thought, you know what, this investment is going to put me in contact with a person with lots of contacts. And it's going to put me in a room with other business owners that are trying to grow and succeed. And I'm going to be able to learn from them and this person through this coaching program. So I invested the money, and I got to tell you, it made all the difference in the world. It's being resourceful, starting with what you have, and then going after the things that you need, the people that you need, the contacts you need, the information you need, the tools that you need, the employees that you need, and not giving up. You know, how many times do you see, you know, somebody on the unemployment line? They need a job, and they're like, yeah, well, nobody's offering me a job. There's just no jobs out there. Well, you and I both know there are plenty of jobs out there. It's just that they aren't going out and getting the job. Well, that's the same thing that business owners do, is that the business is out there. The tools are out there. The information you need to grow your business is available. It is out there. You just have to be open to going and get it. Nobody's going to come bring it to you. In business, we are on our own. There isn't a government bureau for business information resources. There isn't somebody that going through and looking at every single business and going, you know, what is the missing piece here? What is it that this business owner needs? No. Instead, you have to do that. You have to be, what is the piece that I'm missing? And go after and get it, because that's the only way it's going to happen. Do you have any comments about today's program? I'd love to hear them. You're welcome to go to my blog at robertscrobe.com and post a comment. Just pick a post and post a comment to my blog and let me know what you think about today's program. Coming up on the program, we have how I succeeded, the tools that I used in order to break free and learn how to be a salesperson. And instead of being scared, learn how to be a successful closer. And all of that and more is coming up after this brief message.
Attention business owners, entrepreneurs, sales professionals, and anyone who wants to get more accomplished. Have you heard about the new DVD sensation that everybody is talking about, called The Phenomenon? Question: was 2007 the breakthrough year you wanted? And if not, what goals would you set? What accomplishments would you seek? What income and status would you want if you knew it could be yours in just the next 12 months? In this most unusual DVD created by legendary marketing guru Dan Kennedy, you'll meet 23 people and hear directly from them about the exact changes they took to trigger the phenomenon in their lives. Best of all, the secret is not about thoughts. It is about what to do and exactly how to do it. To preview the Phenomenon DVD, go to AchieveMoreProfit.com. So what accomplishments would you seek? What income and status would you set if you knew it could be yours in just 12 months? Amaze yourself and everyone around you. To preview the Phenomenon, go to AchieveMoreProfit.com.
When I started in business, quite possibly, I had the worst sales skills of anyone. This is Robert Scrobe, your host of Business Profits Radio. And not only did I have the worst, I was just inept, scared, frustrated. And I really thought that I had created a life where I didn't have to sell. After all, I was an accountant. I was a CPA, and you know, accountants and CPAs, we get to sit in the back office and we don't have to sell. And because of a series of events, I found myself as the owner of a business. And now I had to sell because I needed customers or else I was going to close. And I had to learn those skills of going out and bringing back a customer and getting the customers to know who I was, to like me, to trust me, and then to buy from me. And you know what? I found a tool along the way that really made a big difference, that really helped me get over my fear, helped me get over my anxiety and helped me become a successful salesperson. And there's a book. It's a book by a gentleman named Frank Betker. And the title is How I Raised Myself from Failure to Success in Selling. And I got to recommend that you go to Amazon.com or go to your bookstore and chase down that book. It's an excellent, excellent book. And I want to talk about two things in particular that Frank Betker mentions in his book, How to Raise Myself from Failure to Success in Selling. Number one, in the first chapter, Frank talks all about excitement and how you have to take yourself up to the next level. You know, nobody wants to talk to somebody who is down, who is not excited, and not the least of which, anybody that you're selling to doesn't want to talk to anybody like that. And so in order to be a successful salesperson, you have to become the type of person people want to talk to. And so you have to talk with excitement. You've got to get out there and move forward. And what I found is that when I acted with excitement, whether or not I was excited on the inside, maybe very often I was scared to death, but I acted excited. I acted like this was the funnest thing I could ever do, standing there in front of them, asking them to buy from me. I pretended it was the most exciting thing that I could have ever thought of doing at that moment. And because I was excited, my customers became excited. And I think that they really saw that I believed in my product. Because I was so excited about it, they saw that I was somebody that they could trust. And that excitement all by itself, even though while it made me feel better and while it made me get out there and actually do what I needed to do, it actually made me more effective. And so I want to recommend you tomorrow, today, take your next appointment, take your next meeting, and ramp up the excitement. You know, listen to some rock and roll or listen to some great music beforehand. You know, pump yourself up. You are a winner. Say, you are a winner. Or say, repeat after me, I am a winner. I can do it. I am a closer. Repeat that to yourself, and you will become that because people will be excited and feed off your excitement. The other advice that Frank Betker made was to create goals of how many people you were going to get in front of in a week. And then you meet those, and then you break them down to how many people you're going to get in front of in a day. And then you don't go to sleep until you've made that goal. So if you need to meet with 10 people in a week in order to close the number of sales you need to close, then you can't go to sleep before you've met with 10 people this week. And you got to plan your week in such a way that you make those appointments. Because if you're not making appointments, you're not selling. So it was really interesting. I thought, you know, Frank Becker, I thought, man, you know, I can just do this excitement thing. But it doesn't do me any good to be excited by myself. I had to get out and make appointments, face rejection. I had to talk with people. And you had to offer them what I had to offer them. And that was the only thing. So between the excitement and the discipline of actually standing in front of people who have money and may actually part with it, those are the two insights that I really learned from Frank Betker's book, How I Raised Myself from Failure to Success in Selling. So do you need to get in front of to sell this week? Who do you need to get in front of in order to generate new customers? Well, I encourage you to go ahead and get it done. Make a goal, make the appointments, and get out in front of those people. Get in front of those customers because it's those sales that are going to make you money and build your business. And coming up next week on Business Profits Radio, we've got, you know, new rules for business, businesses where there are no rules or referees, just successful business owners, plus strategies for coping with the recession. Business was hard before the recession, and it's even more difficult today. We're going to talk about how to cope and thrive coming up next week on Business Profits Radio. If you got any insights or tips or strategies or things that you really want to hear or comments about the show, go to my blog at robertscrobe.com and post a comment. I'd love to hear more about your thoughts and insights on the program. Till next week, I'm your host, Robert Scrobe, for Business Profits Radio.
Business Profits Radio is produced by Corey Scrobe in conjunction with WebTalkRadio.net. Your host is Robert Scrobe. You can learn more about Robert from his blog at www.robertscrobe.com. Business Profits Radio is dedicated to helping business owners make more money and go home earlier to spend more time with their families. To be notified immediately when new shows are posted, visit www.businessprofitsradio.com. For guest application or advertising details, you can visit us on the web at www.businessprofitsradio.com. Although Business Profits Radio believes the content is accurate, complete, and current, the host, guests, and show producers make no warranty as to the accuracy, completeness, or currency of the content. It is your responsibility to verify any information before relying on it. None of the information provided on this show should be construed as legal advice, nor is anyone associated with Business Profits Radio engaged in the practice of law. If you need legal advice, please seek the advice of an independent legal counsel. This show is copyright protected by Business Profits Radio, Inc., 2008. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Business Profits Radio.